Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests.
But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
I should have been
we got a cowboy.
I should have learned to row.
Absolutely. It's good to have true fans out there. I really love doing it for the fans.
October 24th, 2013. It's 9 p.m. Central Time. That means it's time for me to say, welcome, Survivor fans, to our Survivor Blood vs. Water Roundtable Show, normally hosted by Michael Cowboy Ellis from Big Brother 5 and co-hosted by Paul from Minnesota and myself, Cherry Garcia. But most everyone knows that Cowboy had surgery on Monday to have his gallbladder removed, and he's actually recovering very nicely from that surgery. And he had planned on being here with us tonight. You guys probably already can tell there's a butt coming. He apparently received a little something extra while he was in the hospital. He contracted strep throat while he was there, and so he's going to be with us tonight in chat room only. Because it hurts when you talk when you have strep throat. So he's not going to be on air with us. It will be just be Paul and myself. And our fans. This is going to be a fan night. Cowboy will be listening and will be in our chat room, but he won't be on air with us tonight, sadly. So let's say hi to Paul in Minnesota, and we'll get our Survivor Blood versus Water fan night going. In honor of our fearless leader, we'll try to make this a wonderful show and carry on without him. Right, Paul?
I'm going to swallow hard first for Cowboy because I know.
I feel so bad for him.
I do too. But, you know, I'm so glad. He was being a good dad, and it paid off because he found out, that's what he had. Because he thought from his surgery, because they put something down his throat during the surgery, it was just sore because of that. But come to find out that it was strep throat. I want to explain part of that intro, the transition little tune.
That was a great clip, by the way, Paul.
Thank you. The transition tune from Should Have Been a Cowboy to Weird Al Yankovic singing Like a Surgeon, that little instrumental is actually from the opening of the soap opera General Hospital. So those that don't know soap operas would not have understood or recognized that, but there was a hospital theme to it. So anyway, hi, Cowboy. I hope you're going to feel better. I know you're listening, and I hope we do you proud, bud.
I know his daughter also has strep throat, so I hope the his sons don't get it. Oftentimes that's what happens. It goes to the entire family.
It better stop now, though. I told him on the phone, I hope it doesn't get to the other kids. So
I know,
all...
that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
I feel so bad. But we'll keep them in our prayers, and that's all we can do, just hope for the best. But, you know, I just felt so bad. He did so well after surgery, and lo and behold, he has to get strep throat. I just felt so bad. So, well, as you said, we'll try to do him proud tonight and do a wonderful show for him and cheer him up and do the best we can do without our fearless leader and carry on with him in our chat room. We certainly miss our cowboy. So what did you think of last night's episode, Paul?
Can we, as we normally, before, to quickly say it, I was a little bit sad, but what I really think we should, we always take a few minutes at the start maybe to talk about some other shows and stuff going on, and I didn't know if I should mention that right away, if you were going to get to it, or go right into Survivor. I'll let you lead me, but
no,
there
go
was
ahead.
Something
go ahead.
On.
That's fine.
Right. On today was the first of four episodes of The Bold and the Beautiful, where we see several of our Big Brother stars and one Survivor star on. It was today. It will be tomorrow. Then it will be next week on Wednesday and Thursday. And I did watch it today, and it was really cute. And I don't know if we should just go ahead and play this clip, but it was at the Bold and Beautiful's bar called Bikini Bar. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, because I don't watch that show. But the Bikini Bar is kind of a hangout, and we always seem to see the when they have the Big Brother people on, it seems to be in the Bikini Bar for the most part. At any rate, it opened with Alyssa standing at the door greeting people kind of thing, and it was so cute that I grabbed a clip, and Alyssa's the first one to talk to one of the actors on the show. Her name on the show is Hope, And then after she talks with Hope, her sister Rachel comes up and talks to her. And the only reason I point that out is because they do sound so much alike that when people hear this clip, if they didn't see the episode, they will know the voices. But I tell you, whoever writes for the show obviously has to be a Big Brother fan, don't you think?
Oh, they have to be. I mean, they threw in every reference to Big Brother they could possibly squeeze in one or two sentences. I mean, I don't know how they managed it, but they absolutely got in every reference to Big Brother they could possibly fit in.
And not only
it was amazing.
That, long,
amazing writing.
I know. And how long do we go back in the seasons of Big Brother where every season they have a terrible ant infestation? This person not only watches this season, whoever wrote knows about all the seasons. It must be a feed watcher because they don't talk about all the ants on the CBS episodes. These ants always show up, and they're always battling them around the kitchen and the backyard by the couches. You know, about a month and a half, 2 months into the show, it always seems like, here comes the ants. I mean, they're their true returning house guests, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes it isn't even that long. Sometimes it's, you know, a few weeks in and they're battling ants. And I couldn't believe they made that reference on Bold and the Beautiful. I do watch that show. I've been watching it for years and years. I think since it first came on, actually. And when they made that reference and said they were going to call the exterminators, I just lost
it. Don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. We want to play the clip, but yeah, okay.
Well, let's go ahead and just play it, Paul.
All righty.
Here we go.
Alyssa, hey, it's good to see you.
Hey, Hope. Where have you been?
Jury duty.
Wow, well, it's good to have you back. Bikini's not the same without its MVP.
Alyssa, I think we have a little bit of an ant problem.
Ah, I guess we'll have to call the exterminators.
So we got MVP, we got jury, we got the exterminators.
Yeah.
I mean, how many references could they make in...
I know. And that was with a little bit of dialogue from somebody else and a little bit of music that lasted 20 seconds. And we
20
got
seconds.
The jury, we got the MVP, we got the ant infestation, and we got the exterminators, the alliance. So... That was
in
pretty good.
In a 20-second clip, we got all of that. How and you know, she kept her real name Alyssa. So
yeah.
All of that in a 20-second period of time. That's some amazing writing right there.
We did get, I could have included a bunch of other stuff, but we did get dialogue also a little bit later on from Brendan, who was the bartender, and then he talks about Howard, who was, it was karaoke night, and said, Howard's about set up, and Howard gets a shout-out, who's ready for karaoke? And then later on, he walks over to a, he did a good job, he walks over to a table trying to sign people up to sing a karaoke song, and he did really great with the dialogue, and those that were on that didn't have dialogue, we saw Malcolm from Survivor wander in, and I almost missed it, but there was a quick shot of Jeff. Did you see him?
Yes. I just, it's so much fun to see them on a soap that I watch, you know, 5 days a week. And Brendan actually does really well. He seems very comfortable in his role.
Remember the first time he was on, he's actually getting a lot better. And remember Cowboy had, I think it was Cowboy that had gotten him to call into one of our shows. And he actually called in, even though they were doing taping that day. And he, remember that?
Yes, and he was outside during a break.
Yeah.
Yes. That was great. So,
anyway,
yeah, he's gotten much better in front of the camera. Initially, when we first saw him appear on Bold and the Beautiful, you could tell, you know, there was a bit of nerves. He and Rachel both were on. But now he seems so much more comfortable. He seems like, you know, one of the regular cast.
Yeah. But, hey, listen, for us Big Brother fans, that is so cool to see. And, you know, there's been other appearances. I don't remember, it was Cassie on that one, or what's the other CBS, Young and the Restless?
Young and the Restless.
Have they been on, have we had Big Brother people on that, or has it just been Bold and the Beautiful?
I think it's mostly been Bold and the Beautiful. There might have been one that was on Young and the Restless, but I think it's primarily been Bold and the Beautiful.
I'd
have to go back and look, but
I know you haven't watched it.
Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were done. I was just going to switch from that to quick, you know, just make quick comment about a couple other shows that are on. I am so happy. Biggest Loser is back on, and I am so happy that they are doing one-hour episodes this year. And there are two episodes in. People that heard about it ahead of time know that American Idol Season 2 winner Ruben Studdard is on, and I'm not going to spoil anything for you, Cherry, but I'm really liking him. He comes on as the heaviest person on the ranch, and there's a lot of very interesting people and backstories, which I always enjoy hearing those backstories from these people. And they actually grabbed a little thing from American Idol that started several seasons ago. Each of the trainers has one save this year, so they can save somebody that gets eliminated, which adds a new little twist to the show. But I think I'm going to enjoy it. I'm already invested in a number of the people that are on there, and like I said, I'm not going to spoil it for Cherry because she hasn't had time to catch up on that yet. But the one thing I'm so thrilled about is they're down to 1 hour instead of 2 hour episodes. And when I told Cherry that, I know she was thrilled too.
Yes. And, you know, on The Voice, they've added a new twist.
Uh-oh,
and
I missed
it. Yes. You know, they go from the initial rounds, I forget what they're called, to the battle rounds and then the knockout rounds.
The blind auditions.
Blind auditions and then the battle rounds and then the knockout rounds or vice versa. And what they're doing is, you know, during those initial blind auditions and the initial rounds, they can do the steal while they're still setting up their main teams. Well, now during that second phase, they're adding another steal. So
the steal has been around before. I think they started that last season or two seasons ago. But you're saying they've added an additional steal?
Yes, one more steal during the next phase. So,
okay,
it's going to add another layer that, you know, wasn't there before, and that's going to be interesting because, you know, it was fun to see them, you know, be able to grab somebody that used to be on somebody else's team, but now, even as it goes deeper in to the show, they could get somebody who had long been on somebody else's team and grab them and save them and bring them on and keep them on the show and turn it around for them.
You know, so, that is something that is always very tough watching these kind of competitions when you feel as a fan that one of the singers is really doing a great job, that they have real potential, and for whatever reason they get eliminated and you go, no, you know, it's way too early. They had potential, and now you're saying that they can, you know, keep these people in longer. So that I really love. To go along with you talking about The Voice, I told you that I stumbled across a short little reality show. I think it's only about 6 episodes long, but for fans of The Voice, 2 seasons ago, the winner was Cassidy Pope. And I ended up stumbling across a half hour, they're only half hour long episodes. It's called Cassidy Pope Frame by Frame. And it follows her doing her initial radio tour to kind of launch herself and decide on what was going to be her first single. And she performs that single on The Voice. And then she goes on to open for Rascal Flatts, and she's just a little sweetheart, and I really enjoy her. That airs on Friday nights on CMT, and you probably can get the first 3 episodes maybe on demand or elsewhere, but this Friday is going to be episode 4 of, I think, a total of 6 episodes. And while I was watching that, I don't know if anybody except Jerry and I watch it, but there's going to be a new season of Sweet Home Alabama on CMT that's going to fire up on November 15th.
I love that show.
And the other show I will quickly talk about that all of a sudden, and this kind of hints towards the popularity of these shows, is a show that I saw called Alaskan Women, Alaskan Women Searching for Love. And now they only repeat it like once as opposed to 3 or 4 times. And that kind of hints that it's maybe not that popular. What I found fascinating is the first episode was about these 6 women in a very small Alaskan town on the island of Kodiak, Alaska, which is really isolated. These 6 women are about to fly down to Miami, Florida, in search of love. And their lifestyle up in Alaska is so much different than what they end up facing in the wild and crazy nightlife of Miami. It almost reminded me a little bit of Redneck Vacation when they ended up going to the Hamptons and felt totally out of it. And it's very interesting to see how they, like fish out of water, are adjusting to this crazy Miami life. And anyway, Alaskan Women in Love is about into its 3rd episode, and I really enjoying that one. So those are a couple of the shows that I thought I would bring up before we do our Survivor tonight. I don't know if you've stumbled across any or not.
Thomas was just telling Cowboy there's a new show coming on that talks about hot nurses, and I think it's going to be on, I believe it's TLC. I think the name of it's called Scrubbed In or something like that. I've seen the commercials for it, and it looks like it's going to be really interesting.
Oh my God, I think I saw a commercial, and it was like totally all of a sudden you see these women out on a nightlife or something. I don't know what city it takes place in, but you see these really prim and proper nurses, you know, and then all of a sudden they're out in little skimpy outfits. And
you see them, you know, sort of in both phases of their life, in their, you know, real life, you know, and what they do outside of work, and then, you know, actually at the hospital in, you know, their work atmosphere as well, you know, saving people's lives and doing what they do as a nurse. And so I think it's going to be really interesting. and possibly give us a different view of how we perceive those who, you know, take care of us in the hospital, you know? I mean, we
know that they have
a different life, that they're not just a nurse, but, you know, now we're going to actually see them, you know, going out and you know, having fun and living life to the fullest and what they do in their real lives, and not just as a nurse, as we often perceive them when we're, you know, laying there in a hospital bed. So it's going to be a fun show to watch, I think.
All right. I will tell you this. I just did a search. It's called Scrubbing In.
Scrubbing In.
Actually, episode one is actually airing as we speak. And let's see when they repeat it here. But it is actually on right now. So you haven't. You're not behind. It's on it's on MTV.
MTV? I knew it was on one of those.
But it's going back to back. It will re-air again in 30 minutes, but then it will come on tonight at 2 a.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. Central Time, and then again tomorrow early evening, like 6:30 to 7:30 or 5:30 to 6:30 Central Time. But MTV, that no wonder we're going to see them out partying. I mean, MTV is all about out there drinking and partying and
absolutely.
I cannot remember. I certainly wonder if Cowboy saw any hot nurses when he was in there, and I have to remember how Ron had his hot, one hot nurse that he kept talking about. Remember that, Sherry?
Yes, I do. Ron just, you know, Ron was always so sweet to everyone, but he loved it when he got a hot nurse. I mean, that would put a smile on his face and gave him, you know, somebody to flirt with. And he loved that. So, of course, I remember that made his day when he got a hot nurse to come in and take care of him.
And we tried to egg him on so many times. Get her out. I forget her name. He said her name several times. We kept trying to get her. Get her on the air, Ron. Get her on the air. But
yeah.
Anyway, I want to, seeing as we're about to do our Survivor, mention again, if you haven't heard it, last Sunday we did have the only two-time winner of Survivor, Sandra Diaz-Twine, on our Amazing Race show that Mary Conley got a hold of her and brought her on. And one of the really funny things, I didn't know whether it was true or not at the time, but both Mary and Sandra actually went to the CBS Early Morning Show in New York City to be interviewed back when they were still doing that type of thing. And Mary and David were interviewed by Harry Smith. And I said, Mary, you know, Sandra had her check handed to her by Julie Chen. I was wondering if you were, as a Big Brother fan, jealous. And Mary said, the damn right I was. I wanted Julie. She was really animated about that. But if you missed that show, it was really good to have Sandra on. She was just a joy and a huge Big Brother fan and Amazing Race fan as well. I mean, that was a fun show, wasn't it, Cherry?
It was great to have Sandra on. Just loved it.
And I know one of our people on the switchboard here was really happy to hear her on and made his night when she called in. You know who I'm speaking of, right?
Yes. So did you want to get started?
Yeah, I just those few things, you know, that I just wanted to chat a little bit about our other reality shows. I mean, we are the Rad Reality Show, and I just thought we would highlight those in our little opening chit-chat, if you will. But, yeah, let her rip.
Well, last week was Todd Hanna's first win at a challenge and Galong's first tribal council. It was also a week we saw Eris plan for Laura Moret to knock out Brad Culpepper in the duel at Redemption Island. And as we all know, it worked. And on the show, we saw Eris talking about being uneasy, being seen as the leader. But he's in that role now, and he has to put one foot in front of the other and tread lightly. Jervis and Tyson talk about when to knock out King Aris and agree they may only have one more week before they merge to do so. As the teams go to Redemption Island, to the arena, Sierra sees that her mom is there, and she tells Jeff that she has had a feeling all day that it was her mom who would be there. And Jeff reminds everyone about the option to switch places with each other, and Laura immediately says, "No way in hell, I've got this." And so there is no switch between Sierra and Laura. The duel consists of walking over a wooden beam, untying bags of puzzle pieces that contain numbers 1 through 100. And as they untie the bags, they have to place these puzzle pieces and then go back for new bags. And if they fall, they have to start at the beginning of the balance beam again. So Laura gets off to a quick lead, and she never looks back. She basically continues to have the lead all the way through the entire competition. Then it's sort of a battle between John and Brad Culpepper as to, you know, them kind of going back and forth as to who has the lead. But eventually John comes in second, and Brad Culpepper is out. Jeff asked Brad. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I, as a guy, kind of worry a little bit how John is doing, because he did a slip on that balance beam, spread eagle, it looked like.
And Jeff says, that's going to leave a mark and going to hurt.
Those are equalizing challenges for women, because women can do those balance type of challenges so much better than guys. But she did fly through that. And if people remember, were here last week, I had mentioned I'd seen something on the Next Week on Survivor show, and it indeed showed that the middle lane, that the puzzle on the red lane was not completed. So thanks a lot, CBS. It spoiled it for me. I knew immediately that Brad was not going to win that.
Why they do things like that.
I have a question, though, and it may sound stupid, and I may have missed it, but it just popped into my head. You know how you mentioned Sierra, you know, her mom saying, "I got this." Is it only one time they can swap, or when these guys come back next week, could they swap next week if they didn't swap the first week? You know what I'm trying to say?
Right. That's a good question, but I would think that the offer still stands. But, you know, that's that's just my perception. We would have to see, you know, if that's possible or not. But I would think that that's still available. But I, you know, I'm not 100% positive on that. But I think that they would be able to. So, but I don't think that Laura would allow Sierra to switch with her. But you know, it would be interesting to know that for other teams as well, or other couples as well, or whatever. But
I was just glancing in the chat room, and it totally what was I about to I know what I was going to say. You know, the first few episodes, Redemption Island, I thought there was a possibility of people switching. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't perceive that happening from here on out. I can't see that anybody will switch now. I mean, they will probably still offer it to their loved one, but I don't see that happening ever again. Do you?
I can't think of a team that I would see switching, to be honest. I agree with you. So, let's see where I left off here. Brad is out. Jeff asked Brad if the game Survivor or football was harder, and Brad says he had more of an edge in the game of football. Brad shares a few words with Monica, throws his buff in the fire, and heads out. Jeff gives Laura the clue for the hidden immunity idol. She chooses Vetus. Pardon me?
Yeah, I got a little ahead of my what. I was supposed to say what when she gives it to Vetus. I was trying to time it and I screwed up. I'm sorry.
He follows Jeff right down to the fire and throws it in the fire. And apparently Survivor can't get any of these people to even be concerned with a hidden immunity idol this season. And,
right.
You know,
it seems like they're trying
so hard, but nobody wants the hidden immunity idol this season. They're just not interested in it at all.
My what was because Laura's daughter's sitting up there, and she did not give it to her daughter.
Right. But, you know, this year they see it more as putting a target on someone's back instead of seeing it as something good. So nobody wants it. Nobody wants to touch it. Nobody wants to even look at it, read it. They don't even open it before they throw it in the fire. They simply leave it in the rubber band, unopened, and throw it in the fire. And
you know, and it started with Brad keeping it to himself. I mean, he got a target on his back in his tribe, and then he opened up and told, or John had it and kept it to himself, and then opened up to Brad because he was feeling like because he was not sharing, that it was putting a target on him. So they were kind of feeling that in the other tribe. And then you go to the veterans, or, you know, the returning players who played this game before, and they kept throwing it in the fire. So now everybody looks to the veterans and to their own experience and are just saying, you know what, maybe there is something to it, and probably remembering past seasons. But I think if used correctly, it can be a very powerful thing. It can solidify an alliance. It can, you know, give you more strategy in the game. I'm with you. It just baffles me that people aren't, you know, taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I've never seen a Survivor where people don't even want anything to do with the hidden immunity idols at all. I mean, they're just not even paying attention to them, not wanting to find them, not looking for them. It's like they don't exist, like, you know, it's like they're the plague. And
yeah, well, we certainly will get to it in your notes, but for the first time, finally, we get a little chatter about it later on. But, I mean,
right.
This is something that in previous seasons was kind of a focal point every episode.
Correct. I mean, it's something that, you know, we talked about every week. They looked for them every week. The clues were of the utmost importance. And this season, it couldn't be further from the opposite. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And I've never seen anything like it. So we have somebody on the switchboard that I'm going to bring up to join us. We have Mr. Michael Doyle from Survivor Whispers. How are you?
Great. Just had my early birthday night, so hopefully I'm
not too
much. Well, happy birthday, Michael Doyle.
No, he's 8 days away. Come on.
Yep.
Well,
my brother's in town, so I had a big celebration. So
happy early birthday.
I was with a bunch of pilots, so you know where that goes to.
Hey, did you hear my question to Cherry about whether it's possible for them to switch after the first offer? Do you know the answer to that or no?
I don't know the answer, but I think pretty much they can't. Because otherwise, I think you might have seen it. So
okay,
yeah, that's pretty much my hunch. What's happening? So, like, I think you can only get offered once when Jeff asks you, "Do you want to do it?"
Okay.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Here, actually, let me just close my window. I think I have some sirens going on in the background. Hold on.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead.
Are the sirens in Canada, do they sound like in London? Woo, 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 woo.
So
that's a pretty poor impression. But we're up to the point where we get the big tribe thingy.
Jeff throws
right.
the buff. I'm sorry, the clue in the fire. And then Jeff says, after 14 days of playing against your loved ones, we're going to switch things up. Throw down your buff. And he tells them that they are going to choose players for new teams, and he passes out new buffs to reveal new tribes. And
did you see the look on Tyson and Jervis's faces? I mean, they had everything planned out. And it was a priceless look on their faces, Jerry.
And Tyson asked if he can be last to receive his buff. He wants fate to you know, sort of guide him. And so he gets the last buff.
It was a neat little edit with Tyson and Jervis at the right before that when they were trying to control, like, who was going to be, and then when, like, are you in agreement with that, and all that stuff, you know? So that was interesting.
Perfect. Yeah, before they went to Redemption Island, the editing was kind of setting it up so that we could see those reactions.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
So RS, Jervis, and Tyson moved to Tadhana, and Vetus and Katie moved to Galang, which means that the new tribes are as follows. Tadhana now consists of Jervis, Caleb, Aris, Tyson, Hayden, and Sierra. And Galang consists of Monica, Tina, Katie, Laura B., Kat, and Vetus. So
you
basically
the estrogen tribe. The estrogen
right.
And testosterone
one
tribe
has all women with one male, and one tribe has all men with one female. And so they did switch up the tribes, but it's very lopsided.
What was the Survivor season when they did that totally went lopsided? Oh,
that was All Stars.
Or was it when Brandon
that was
Hans?
All Stars.
No.
That was All-Stars way back when they had Lex and then I was talking with Lex, and it was Lex and Rob's Amber. Amber was switched over to just one tribe, and then it was so weird how they had it all set up. And remember that one, All Stars?
I just felt, again, it was like, okay, they're going to do this. Is it going to be kind of an even thing, or will it be lopsided? And for me, this was so lopsided with almost, you know, the guys versus girls. Not only that, Jerry, that powerful alliance of Aris, Tyson, Jervis, Tina, and Monica, mm-hmm. which we all kept looking at and saying, this is a powerful alliance. Holy cow. All three
I
guys
know.
In that five-person alliance gone.
I
yeah,
know.
Except for Tina. Tina and what's
Monica.
His name? We're on this. Yeah.
Tina and Monica are still together. So,
yeah.
And Sierra says, this could be a really great thing or a really bad thing. We'll have to find out. So, and Katie and Tina are excited to play together. Vita says he's a ladies' man. This is perfect for him. And we see Tyson and Jervis ravaging through the food on the Tadhana tribe camp and getting lots of info regarding the tribe and the hidden immunity idol clues. Especially
God.
Hayden isn't fond of them eating the food. And we see the coconut bandit again from Tyson.
he's like, well, how much can I drink out of this one coconut?
All right. And then he talks about how gracious it is of him to drink half of it and then pass it around to the other five people out there in the ocean.
But before then, he's like, oh, this is too much.
Let me tell you, Tyson, we got to see a pretty good survivor strategist on that episode of Tyson. We really got to see how he was playing the newbies, and as your notes will say a little bit shortly, setting up another person. But I was just like, whoa, Tyson is in this. You know, he is showing a solid position.
Right.
Tyson kind of reminds me of the coach, the third time coach was out for the third time Tyson's out.
But here they share the hidden immunity idol, which I had forgotten, and I will just mention it here because it had been so long that the first clue was like on the way to water, and the second clue was at the roots of a serpent-like tree. And I had totally forgotten the clues until this episode. I thought, oh, yeah, that's what they were.
And they just spilled them out, you know, to these new people on their tribe like they were nothing.
They could trust them.
And basically, you know, sort of handed them valuable information that they really should have kept close to the vest. And
I think Hayden was more aware, even though he did share information. We got a little cameo or, you know, confessional from Hayden saying, you know, that, hey, there is three returning players and only three of us, you know, remaining. And he at least acknowledged being a little bit concerned about that. But the other two, Caleb and Sierra, almost seemed giddy to share everything that was going on.
I agree. And it's like they weren't thinking at all in giving up all that information and, you know, leading them straight to an idol and telling them everything that had been going on with their camp and with everything. It was just like, what are you guys thinking?
All right. As a fan, all of a sudden you're getting to meet or be with survivors that you may be fans of or seen on previous seasons. Do you think they're kind of in the fan mode and just like, oh, I got this person I've seen on Survivor before. I'm so excited, and I'm going to tell mm-hmm. them everything.
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Paul.
I'm sure that's it, but they need to realize they're playing the game, you know, and they could have just stuck themselves, you know, where they didn't want to be stuck by giving out all that information. So as it goes on, I had mentioned Hayden wasn't fond of them eating all the food, and we did see the coconut bandit. Tina says that it's a dream come true, and she was playing water, and now she's playing blood.
Good quote.
We see Kat getting frustrated with Monica for talking strategy too much, and she says, if you want to learn how to play Survivor, shut it. But then she winds up being guilty of just what she is upset with Monica for.
Right. And if I remember, didn't we see on last week's episode, didn't Kat have a little confessional or whatever we call them on Survivor, where she started, where we heard her starting to talk about Monica was irritating her? Didn't that happen last week as well? I mean, the editors kind of really set this up, didn't they?
Yes, and I felt so bad because I adore Kat, and I did not want to see her go this early. I think she is such a sweetheart, and it bothered me so bad when I saw the seeing this all being set up.
She actually, if we can draw a Big Brother parallel, she spilled to Tina, and Tina could be the Andy, because Tina and Monica were the two women, along with the three guys in that alliance. So Tina and Monica were solid. And so, you know, if Kat knew how solid Tina and Monica were, she would not have done that or said those things to Tina. And what does Tina do? But like Andy would do, he went back to his true alliance. She went back to her true alliance and ratted her out big time.
Right.
See,
right.
The thing with Tina is she's in a position because, like, she won before, right? And so she's like, I only have so many options that I can play. So she was pretty much, I think, forced to play that situation and, give up that card. So I think that's the main reason why she did that, too.
Right.
And
but
we also see Tyson trying hard to put a target on Eris's back. He's pointing out anything that Eris does that may be annoying, and then he apologizes for him.
I tell you, guys, I will say it again, like I said a few minutes ago, that was his performance on his new tribe and what he's doing over there is just so impressive. I mean, they started talking about Aris prior to the teams of the tribe switching up, but he is just setting Aris up big time over there.
Aris cut down a branch off of a tree, and they were like, you just cut down part of our shade, and Tyson is like, if you came over to my house and cut down, part of my wall, I wouldn't be very happy, and he just goes on, and he's apologizing for Aris on, practically every move he's making,
And we also, going back to the opening of the show, when they came back after Tribal, one thing that Aris says is he's perceived as the boss, and he says, the leader, and I don't know how to shed that, and he recognizes that is putting a target on him right in the very beginning of the show, and obviously that's what Tyson is playing up. He's playing up to these other three tribe mates, the newbies, that this guy is dangerous. I just like what Tyson is doing. Whether it will backfire on him, we'll find out. But I just thought that was masterful. What did you think, Michael?
I thought so too. Like it's allowing him to have kind of a shadow approach, no pun intended, with the shadow thing that he's doing. And he's doing it too, where he's like he's plugging in certain scenarios to other people, and then he sets it off to his confessionals, and he's explaining why he's doing it. So we see the whole picture, and then they only see part of it. So, you know, I think it's perfectly done if he doesn't do it too much. But I think he's doing it, like, perfectly. So he knows what he's doing this time around.
Right. Then we see on the other tribe, Vetus opens up to the women on his tribe, hoping that showing his vulnerability will win them over, and it works. He talks about his addiction, his jail time, and his relationship with Aris, and they just start really adoring Vetus. But we do see a cameo of Laura B. Saying that she loves him, but when he teams up with Aris, they could take this whole game. So she is on her toes, and she realizes that she has to not play with her heart, but play with her head. So I was very proud of Laura for that.
I was too, but she even went so far as to compare Vetus to Rupert.
Yep.
Right. And I don't know that I would do that, but
Rupert's he's in a league of his own.
Correct.
Absolutely.
We get to the challenge, and they have to swim two at a time out to release an underwater fish trap.
I cringed.
And the reward, it is immunity and a reward for this one. And
right.
It's a picnic day with all the trimmings. So the first team out is Laura B. and Tina against Aris and Jervis. And I must say, and Jeff mentioned it, Jervis's swimming ability has improved immensely since day one when he nearly drowned.
This is what I was going to ask. If you think in their downtime, do you think Jervis was actually practicing swimming off his beach, or am I putting too much into this?
Something must have happened because he nearly drowned on that first challenge, and he really swam well on this one. He looked completely different on this challenge compared to earlier.
I wouldn't be too surprised.
Don't you think, Michael? Something,
yeah.
And he must have been doing something.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised that
they must have been saying, Jervis, you need to practice on your swimming because we can't have you out there drowning again.
Remember in Heroes versus Villains when James was hurt and JT was running down the beach with him and saying, you know, let's see how that leg was doing and stuff, and then you know, they showed him doing all that. I wouldn't be too surprised if Jarvis was instructed a few ways of how to improve his swimming.
Right.
Speaking of injuries, just to back up a little bit, did you guys notice that apparently, although it didn't appear as bad in the swimming, but when we first saw the new tribe over at Todd Hanna, did you see Tyson get up out of the water with his arm still kind of hanging to his side? It looks like it's still hurting, doesn't it?
Yep.
But and I wonder how much of that is him milking it and how much of it is it actually being hurt. Because he said that he was going to milk that.
I was trying to
watch. You know, and we saw him
the...
raising that coconut and, you know, drinking the coconut just fine.
Yep. That's what I was thinking,
all right.
too.
Now, continue on, Sherry, because this was such a painful moment in that challenge.
We saw Laura B. and Tina, and they released the gate and turned around and started swimming back, and they forgot to get the trap, the fish trap, and that was the main part of the challenge. And everybody's screaming at them, you know, get the trap, but they forgot the trap. And They made it all the way back and had to turn around and swim back to get the trap, which gave the other team a huge advantage and a huge lead, which they just really couldn't come back from.
Yeah,
I mean,
even Jeff was yelling at him while they were in the water. But when you're swimming and your ears keep going underwater, you can't hear those people. But here is what I think I would do, even though they set up the order, you know, each tribe set up the strategy. You two will go first and we'll go last, and these will be the people that do the puzzle pieces and all that type of thing. I think I would have set, because Tina and Laura B get all the way back to the beach, I would have sent out two fresh swimmers. Did you guys think about that?
I don't know that they could do that. I think the first two had to complete
think they could.
The task.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the thing, too. It was obviously that it was heard wrong. Because if you look at the water, it was perfectly clear. Everything, like, was so, there was no rain or anything. It was a beautiful day. So it was obviously that they heard it wrong, or something was going on that, you know, it would be kind of like, you know, a setup or something. But honestly, I think it was heard wrong, because if you look at on the faces when they were listening and how it was portrayed, I think personally they just misheard.
Well,
and you don't
somebody.
See Tina make those kind of mistakes very often.
Right. Nope. And but I did hear somebody, whether it was on the other tribe or one of her fellow tribe mates, make a comment about it was very clear. In other words, it was the instructions were clear. So they had an edit of somebody saying that, and I don't remember who said it or what
it was
tribe,
the other tribe was it.
It was the other tribe? Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
So Tyson and Caleb went out. Monica and Vetus went out. Kat and Katie went out. And for the teams, it was Tyson and Aris doing the puzzle, and Tina and Monica doing the puzzle. Tina and Monica think they have it twice, but something is wrong both times. You know, they nearly caught up twice. Todd Hanna gets it, and they have it right, and Todd Hanna wins the challenge.
Could you see they had the girl, the other tribe, the yellow puzzle? I could see it. I knew, you know, as a viewer, nope, they don't have it yet. And they thought they did, and it was clear to me. But
it was painful to see.
Oh, it was, because it would have
been
such a huge comeback. I mean, amazing comeback, but. Here's my question.
It was still so close, of all.
It was close, but why the hell, I don't know, I'm not there, but why don't you assemble that puzzle on the table before you start putting it in the slots?
I think what happens is when you're doing competitions and stuff as a team and one person starts doing it on the board, like, on the actual puzzle board where it's displayed before Jeff Probst, everybody kind of falls into it, like into the rhythm of doing it, and they're not actually thinking about it because everybody else is doing it. You know, like, and then people don't want to step out of that kind of, like, the momentum that's flowing through there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought the other kind of funny part was when Sierra was seen in the background giving instructions for the puzzle when she had failed so miserably in other puzzles. It was like,
right.
Are you really going to listen to her?
So then back at camp, we see Kat start talking about getting Monica out again. And it's making Tina very uneasy and second-guess her loyalty. So Tina tells Monica about Kat, and Monica actually confronts Kat, but Kat will not admit anything to Monica. And Monica says, She teaches her kids at home to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But I figured it out, she says. In the game of Survivor, it's do unto others before they do unto you. So Monica mentions Kat's name to Vetus and to others. And just before they head to Tribal, we hear Tina say that it's 50-50 between Vetus and Kat. And so as they're heading to Tribal Council, the edit has us believe that we don't know, you know, which way it's going, whether it's going to be Vetus or it's going to be Kat.
Well, before we talk about Tribal, I thought a very interesting moment was when Monica comes up and starts talking to Tina right in front of Vetus about the Five Girl Alliance, and I mean, poor Vetus is standing there like, excuse me. And Monica basically says, sorry, Vetus, but yeah, we're voting you out. It was like, oh, God, Vetus.
And that's kind of why he poured out his heart, because, you know, guys don't really open up like that. And that's why he kind of the deal sensitive.
Oh, my God, that moment, it was like I was feeling bad for. But you know what? I had also, before I saw what unfolded, I thought, even though they've got this alliance, and it's kind of funny because they have Kat saying, I'm in alliance with, and she names off all the women. I thought, why don't you just say, I'm in alliance with all the women except, you know, with everybody except Vetus, you know? It's like, what kind of alliance is it when you've got six people and you're saying all five of us are in alliance? I don't know, but...
Paul, I'm going to take a moment and say bye to Cowboy. He's going to leave us and head out and go to bed. So I just want to say thank you, Cowboy, and I hope you feel better, sweetie. Please take care
of
yourself.
Eminem forever, Cowboy. Eminem forever, buddy.
Please
hope
take care.
Really better.
Feel better. And we'll see you and talk to you next week. We can't wait to have you back,
care.
Babe.
Take care, Cowboy. But I also want to point out another thing is, and I'm sure you could see this in Kat's face too, but when Monica was trying to get Kat to fess up, did you not see in Kat's face, you know, that she was not telling the truth to Monica? I mean, she looked really worried. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So once we're, once they all get there at Tribal, Jeff asks how the new tribe is doing, and right away the conversation goes to, trust issues between Monica and Kat. Vetus talks about, the strong relationships he's built there, and, the bonds he's, you know, he's built, and the sort of, I guess, banter, you could call it, goes on between Kat and Vetus all through the tribal. But it's time for them to vote. I didn't go in and take notes as far as what each one of them said, but...
I want to
Vetus
say
was
this,
basically
though.
Saying, you know, you made a mistake, and now you're trying to say you're sorry for it, but, you know, not, oftentimes it's too late for that. I've already built bonds with these women, and I'm saying that they can trust me from now on, and I haven't made any mistakes with them, and they can trust me from here on out. And you have made a mistake. Now you're trying to backtrack and say you're sorry. And he was, you know, really putting it out there on the table.
He was doing what he should be doing. He was absolutely doing the right thing. I have to tell you this, though. It brought back my memory of Big Brother this season.
Yep.
Of it wasn't quite as intense, but Kat reminded me of Judd when Judd was pleading for his life to stay in the house. Kat, I was feeling the same you know, mm-hmm. sadness for her. Did anybody else have that same feeling?
Yeah, very good parallel. I did too. It was that same sad feeling in your gut that you just almost wanted to cry for them.
And she looked like she was close to tears.
Yes.
Yeah,
had,
it was very,
her,
it was very
her
tough
eyes were watering. Go
just
ahead,
because,
Michael.
Like all the medical stuff that she's gone through, and then you got the survivor thing that you can't control, and you can just see it, you know? And, oh, I was just, oh, because that's why.
You could tell how badly she wanted it.
Yeah, she's on my top 10 for survivors, and just because of what she's going through.
I will always consider her tribal speech on her season. I even did a clip of it because it was one of the most moving times. I really didn't think much of her throughout her entire season. She seemed to be somewhat ditzy. I think she was the one that had the appendix
mm-hmm.
comment. But what she addressed to the final three that night, and you all remember, and I know Cherry was moved by it as well. I love her to death. I think she is just, that made it for me for Kat,
yep.
that one moment. Remember that,
absolutely.
Guys?
Absolutely. Oh, gosh, I remember it so well.
Yep.
And, you know, I haven't actually had the pleasure of meeting her in person. I hope to goodness I do one day. But I've had, you know, the pleasure of talking to many people who have met her in person. And everyone I've talked to that has met her has come back saying what a wonderful, wonderful person she is in person. And
now, that broke my heart at that time, but what also broke my heart was what she said when she arrived at Redemption Island. I don't know if you were going to get to that or not.
Oh. Yes, yes. Yeah. So she's voted out, and the one thing that Jeff did say is that you don't get trust by asking for it. You have to earn it. And the next week, we see the previews for next week's Survivor, and Vetus is quickly making friends with Katie, and it shows him saying morning boo to Katie, and Tina says she would love to see Vetus and Katie together, and she's ready for grandbabies. I mean, that's moving really quickly.
Good for Vetus. First of all, I didn't think it was – I understand the Alliance of Five thought it was a poor choice that they would vote out their only guy on their tribe. I felt that would weaken it. They, you know, I think they should have voted out Laura B. I mean, she was partnered up – she was partnered up in that swimming thing with Tina, and you know they're not going to get rid of Tina. You would think that they would blame one of those girls, you know, for weakening their team. And for Vetus to come from certainly being voted out to staying and then getting a peek of next week, I give props to whatever he's doing because it looks like he's getting in a better spot.
Yeah, he's yep. moved right in there. Well, they said, you know, Vetus is making friends while Aris's are all but gone, and we see Aris meditating alone on the top of a mountain. And you just feel so bad for Aris at this point. Apparently, everything he's worked so hard to achieve throughout, I guess now at this point we'll be at day 15 of Survivor, or better, has sort of been blown up, and he is sort of back at square one or worse, and he is now apparently struggling and sort of alone. And meanwhile, Vetus has worked his magic, and he's doing quite well. So
well,
they made those
I will say,
comparisons.
Yes.
And then we see Kat talk about, go ahead.
Well, before you talk about Kat, I just want to make a point of, it seems like with all the possible strategies and twists, the primary one seems to be trying to get out people that still have a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems to be the real motivation. We still have Tina and Katie, of course, together. Aris and Vetus, of the people that still have loved ones, Aris and Vetus' team is probably the strongest. So the motivation to break them up is pretty high. And then you've got Kat and Hayden, but now she's gone to Redemption Island. And you've got Sierra and Laura Moret, and Laura's at Redemption Island. So basically, in the game right now, and, you know, not on Redemption Island, are just two teams, and it seems like that has been their focal point of who they are voting off to not have any loved one pairs remaining. What do you guys think?
I totally agree.
I agree, and I think, you know, they're correct in focusing on them. That would be a powerhouse team if they allow
mm-hmm.
them to, you know, reunite after a merge.
Because if you look at it, all you need to do is have one returnee with a loved one that's, you know, done very well in the season, and they've already, you know, proven about the strategies and stuff like that. That's two people plus another pair, and then whatever person that's been that's lost their loved one, you know, right there, that's five.
Yeah, I don't know which tribe wins the immunity challenge next week, but I think if Todd Hanna loses, I'm sensing that Aris is probably gone, but if they're teasing us with that, I'm thinking maybe they win it, and DeLong has to vote somebody out. I don't know who it would be, you know, but, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, moving on,
on the previews, we also see Kat, talking about how she hopes that she didn't embarrass Hayden, and she said, who wants to date someone that didn't even make it to the merge? And you can see how upset she is and worried about how Hayden is going to, you know, perceive her because
aww.
She got, you know, voted out. And it just breaks your heart. And
I think she was set up.
I felt so bad for her. My heart just broke for her. And
mm-hmm.
you know, she you can tell how much she loves and adores Hayden. And I don't think at all Hayden is that shallow that he would, you know. He's not going to look at how she placed in the game of Survivor and have that.
Can I say something?
Sure, go ahead.
Sorry, but when Hayden was here in Winnipeg, I tweeted Kat, and I go, Kat, don't worry, Hayden seems to be behaving himself like a true, you know, true guy, like a true honorable person. And then Kat retweeted me, and she goes, that's my Hayden. He's always
aww.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
she said something on the coolness level, I'm a negative two. And it's like she felt that she, you know, that Hayden would only love her if she was, you know, a cool chick, and I thought, no way, you know.
No.
He's still going to, you know, be, you know, loyal to her. That's not his criteria for, you know.
They don't whatsoever.
And then my question was, and maybe you can help me out, Michael, when did they start filming of this Survivor? And the reason I bring that up is wondering, how long had Hayden and Kat been seriously dating prior to the start of Survivor? Do you think it was a short period of time?
Yeah, I think it was during the summer months, because I remember when Hayden was really going single and he was doing the stuff with the baseball. He would be one of those ultimate fan baseballs, and he was asked to go and watch a lot of the baseball through, like, at the leather seats and stuff, and then he had his man cave and everything, and then suddenly everything stopped. It was, like, late summerish, and then I think they started filming because they did back-to-back Survivors, eh?
Because she made a comment, Sherry, on that when she got to Redemption Island, something along, we've only been dating for a short period, mm-hmm. and I don't know what short means. That's why I asked.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think it was more than a few months.
But
all
Hayden
right. well,
isn't that shallow.
That
he would take that into consideration. I mean, she is such a sweetheart, and Hayden is not going to view how she places in that game, you know, as
right.
any criteria for their relationship.
I totally agree. We do have, you know, the hindsight of knowing that they're still together and that Survivor's been over for a while, so we actually know that. But I have this question, and I kind of set it up earlier. Do you think Hayden would switch with Kat, or do you think Kat would accept that switch next week?
I'm gonna take abstain in this. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, it's hard for me to, Michael, because I know a little too much. But I don't think.
Exactly.
I don't.
Exactly.
I don't think Kat right, would allow it.
Okay. If I bring something up that's going to cause spoilers to come my way, I don't even say it. Don't even respond then. Okay.
And
so
I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit buzzed right now because I went toe-to-toe with a few pilots so for a little birthday party. So I got to be ultra cautious.
Careful.
So I trust you guys, which is why I called it right now.
We need to, before we run out of time, bring up something that that Joe brought up in the chat room that he shared with me on the phone about success of one of our Big Brother people. Do you know the details, Sherry?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Paul.
Okay. Jesse Godder's Big Brother has reached a level of success in his dream to become a professional wrestler. He apparently just the other night won a belt with his tag team. So he's on the rise in that profession, in that world. Apparently, it was part of a $50 pay-per-view thing. Joe says that once wrestlers start becoming champions, they start, you know, making action dolls and T-shirts, and that those wrestlers will get the percentage. I'm just so thrilled that somebody that has had a dream to do something and has stuck with it like he has is finally, you know, getting to the top of what he had been dreaming about. So I just wanted to say congrats to Jesse.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Jesse.
I adore Jesse.
The dude rocks.
He is such a sweetheart, and he's one of those who has, you know, that persona when you see him on Big Brother, but when you meet him in person, he is just one of the most gracious, sweetest guys you'd ever want to meet, and I couldn't be happier to find out that he's won that belt and doing so well.
All right, guys, I think I'm going to log off here. I'm starting to get a little tired. So I'm going to call it the night and just thought I'd call in and say, you know, I love the show and everything. So thank you guys so much. And, Sherry, thank you for letting me help out on Sunday. That was really awesome.
Michael, I want to thank you personally on air for the closing words that you shared.
Oh,
That was so special to me. I want you to know I was listening, but because I had the little ones and things were a little hectic here that night, that we had just gotten the girls home, and it was kind of crazy around here.
How are they doing?
I was listening. They're doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
You got to post another picture or a video of them.
I will. But when you asked to do the closing words, I had no idea what you were going to say, but your closing words touch my heart, and I just want to say thank you so much for the things you said and closing the show out on Sunday night. That was beautiful. Very well done.
And I want to echo that as well. I did give Terry a call after the show, and that was one of the first things we talked about. And I said I had no idea what he was going to say, but wasn't that wonderful, Terry? And she said, oh, my gosh. And so I thank you. Those were – thank you for asking to do it, and I'm glad that I said, sure, go for it, because – anyway, thanks again, Michael.
It's my pleasure. You guys, that's the thing, too. Like, when people give me so many happy memories, I never forget. No, because life is so precious, and you guys know what I've been through and kind of what I'm preparing to go through again. And, you know, it means a lot to me, so I really appreciate it. And when I say I have your back, I have your back, and you guys know that, so...
Thanks, bud.
Michael,
okay, guys.
We so appreciate you. Thank you so very much. You have a wonderful night. Thank you for being with us again tonight. Thank you for Sunday.
It's always fun.
And thank you for being here with us each and every time you join us, babe.
Okay, guys. And this is an awesome show. And you got to post more pictures of those babies of yours. They're so adorable.
Oh, thank you. I will. I'll get some more pictures up real soon.
Yep.
Because they look like...
Take care, MD.
That photo, they're like, is this really real? Are we together? They're looking at each other like that, you know? And I bet you now they're like, yeah, we're together. And they're probably really happy, so...
They are. They're just so sweet. They're even closer now than they were in that picture. They snuggle together, and they're just adorable. So I couldn't be happier.
Okay, you're posting pictures ASAP then.
Okay, I will.
All right, guys.
Thank you,
take
Michael. Take care,
yeah,
hon.
No problem. Yeah. Anytime.
All right, bud.
All right.
Hey,
okay. Take care,
Larry.
Babe. Happy early birthday, babe.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Jerry, you got to get some meat on Stella's bones before the next picture.
I'm working on it. I am working on it. They're eating well, and they are getting along fantastically. They're settling in so well, and I couldn't be happier. We certainly made the right decision. I've just made my huge order for jammies and snoods and coats and...
Whoa, jammies, what was the second one?
Snoods.
What the hell are snoods?
It's something that goes over their head that covers their head and neck. It's... it's kind of like a hood, only they call it a schnood. It goes, it sort of tightly wraps over their head and neck, and because a greyhound has very thin ears and very little hair, their ears get cold very quickly, and when they're in a cold climate like Missouri, their ears can actually get frostbitten. And so...
Oh, sure.
They need to have something covering their ears when they go out in very cold weather. So you get them schnoods and put them on to go outside. And they make them out of fleece. And it's you know, double fleece, and so you put those on when they go outside, and I'm getting them each coats and little jammies, and they're just they're going to be decked out. I have placed a huge order, hundreds of dollars worth of clothing for these little girls, and they will be the best dressed little girls in town. So,
oh dear,
I can't
and,
wait to
and
get
I'm
everything.
Sure, I'm sure if it's available, you'll find some St. Louis Blues garb for them. But
it's very hard to get that material. They don't. You can find Cardinals and Rams, but St. Louis Blues does not release that material for purchase from general public. Believe me, I have tried. That's one thing that you cannot buy is just St. Louis Blues material. I wish I could. I have tried from many places. So don't be looking for that.
Well,
I can buy them actual dog sweaters from St. Louis Blues, but you can't just buy the material and have it made.
Well, I know you haven't been watching the game, and I don't know how much you care except that it's the World Series, but apparently your Cardinals evened it up tonight. Hopefully I'm not spoiling it or you'll get mad at me for spoiling it, but
no, I had it on in the background. I was aware.
The other thing I want to mention for any of those people that do know Joy on Twitter, she goes Lanny Joy. Tomorrow is her birthday. We were talking about Michael Doyle's birthday a week from tomorrow, but anybody that knows who I'm speaking of, just a heads up.
Happy birthday, Lanny Joy. Definitely
yep.
Like to get all those birthdays and be able to say happy birthday on air. And I do want to, you know, just mention our prayers as well. I know some people don't want to hear them, so if you don't want to hear them, now's the time to turn your mic off or volume down. Some people feel it sort of depressing when they hear all of this, but we like to ask for prayers from our fans and just mention those who are in need of prayers. And we'd like to mention Pam Ekman and her sister Haley. Please keep them in your prayers. Of course, Cowboy, as he heals from his surgery and his strep throat, and our friend Panther, as she heals from her surgery, from her knee replacement surgery, and Big Wig and her mom, and our friend of the show, Chi-Town Joe, and his mom, certainly keep them in your prayers as well, and we are continuing to keep prayers for Tilly going. Hashtag prayers for Tilly is still on Twitter. And as far as I know, I haven't seen where they have set up any actual fund for her yet. But if anybody knows anything about that, let me know. If there is a fund set up, if they're taking up any collections, let me know. But I think that's about all that I know of right now. But if you are in a situation where you want prayers asked for you, please let me know. I will ask for them on air for you. This is a big family, and we will ask for prayers if you ask for them. So I want to wrap tonight up. I miss our Cowboy, but he will be back with us next week. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight, and I look forward to everyone joining us again on Sunday for our amazing race second pit stop show with host Mary Conley and she was on The Amazing Race seasons 10 and 11, which was All Stars. I don't know if everyone knows this, but she was on many of the huge shows that were on at that time. Rosie O'Donnell actually presented her and her husband with a house and a car and all kinds of gifts during season 10, I believe it was, and she was able to take many of the teams with them on a cruise. People just fell in love with her and David as the coal miner team, and she is our host of the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop show. So join us at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for that show, and then back here again on Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for Manic Mondays with Michelle Costa from Big Brother Season 10. She is also known as the Portuguese Princess, and she always brings an awesome show. This week we'll be having Alyssa Riley. Also, she was supposed to be on this past week, but she had to catch a plane to go up to Canada and had to reschedule. So we will be having Alyssa
join we're bringing on soap stars, huh?
Yes. Big Brother / Bold and the Beautiful. And, gosh, I just can't believe, I still can't get over what they got in 20 seconds today. That just blew me away. What a great clip you were able to grab there, Paul. That was a great job. So make sure you're here for Alyssa on Monday on the Manic Monday show. And then back again here on next Thursday for our Survivor Roundtable show, again with Michael Cowboy Ellis. So that's going to wrap it up for tonight's show. Thank you again for being here with us and spending your Thursday evening here on the Rad Reality Show Network. Take care, everybody. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do. And before I go, I'm just going to say this and throw it out there real quick. Go Cards! We have a great little rivalry going. I know I'm in the minority of rooting for my Cardinals. Most people are rooting for Boston, so I have to get it out there when I can and root for my Cardinals. So the Cardinals evened it up tonight. It's 1-1. So we'll see what happens from here. But I'm hoping my Cardinals can pull it out.
All right, that's enough.
I knew. I know. I know. Okay, everybody. That's going to do it for tonight. See you again on Sunday night. Here's Ron.
So thank you guys for stopping in. But I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, like, today, about how much we've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show. But I thank everyone that has been part of the show and is still part of the show. You know, I want to say thank you to you guys. And the reality, people, that, you know, I do this for you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and close it off tonight, and I appreciate everyone. I appreciate everyone.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
That's a wrap, everybody. Take care, God bless, and be kind to each other. Good night.